Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, my brothers and my sisters, or good evening. Welcome to the RF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and sitting here as usual at the table, we have Mary Ann Williams, also known as Mama. We're going to let Mama go ahead and give her greetings as she normally does here at the PRF table. Mama, good evening to you.
Yes, good evening to you, and good evening to my PRF family. Just want to welcome everyone one more time for just taking out your time and coming to take a seat at the table to share the knowledge that's going to be shown tonight. So again, we thank you, and with that being said, we turn it over to Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap Jr.
Amen. Mama calls my whole government name when she does that. Thank you so much, Mama. Well, listen, we are here for a part two. If you was with us last week, we were talking about emergency preparedness in your church. We had the wonderful Shelly Skeen, who was with us, who hosted, and she's going to be our guest host again tonight. So we want you to just sit back, relax, and we want you to get involved in the conversation. So if you're listening to us via the internet, whether you're listening to us on our Facebook page, PRF Institute, or through blogtalkradio.com/the PRF table or PRF table, then what we want you to do is to jump into the conversation. Press one if you're listening by phone, hit us up over Facebook, and we'll bring you into the conversation one way or the other. And so with that, without further ado, we're going to bring in Shelly and let her greet you in her own special way and get down to this part two, which we've been waiting for the last week. Shelly, good evening to you.
Hi, Dr. Dunlap. How are you? Mama, how you guys doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Thank you so much again for the opportunity. I am always excited, you know, when I have a very clear and free platform, right, with like no restrictions and no crafted message to share. It is always such a breath of fresh air when we get the opportunity to share, and you know that you're sharing on a platform where you are, number one, in agreement, right, with those who are hosting the show. And I think that's such a big deal, like in the beginning of a show, whether that's Blog Talk Radio, whether that's traditional media, right, or whether that's even just in our churches. It is such a great thing to be in a house where you feel love. Thank you all so much for just the feeling of love and the expressions of support that we've gotten on the first part one, and now tonight on the part two. You know, we of course expect the same. So I want to say thank you to the PRF table, to the team, and to the followers here on Blog Talk Radio, how you guys have embraced this topic and how you have supported this topic as we've pushed on to bring you now a part two tonight about emergency preparedness and safety in the church, preferably not just the church, whatever your house of worship is called. So thank you, Dr. Dunlap, for just an opportunity and a platform, for bringing me back again, bringing my voice back out again. I think it's just a great honor to do it with my friends, right,
yes.
On such an important topic and in such a time as this that we're in our society. So we definitely want to jump right in because even last week we discovered that the topic can get very heavy, right? And there are so many different variables, right, different elements of this topic, different chapters to this book, if you will, not a physical book, right, but this proverbial conversation, the proverbial book, this conversation, this dialogue at the table. I feel like we are on the front porch talking about our local churches and the conditions that we are in as the church. You know, we may not be sipping tea on the porch, but at the table, this is the front porch table. This is the table that sit out on the front porch where you snap peas with your mama. Right? And you're swinging in the summer. And somebody say, well, did you hear that such and such happened down at the church the other week? Right? So the PRF table tonight, if you all will go with us, right, as we paint that picture for you, let's do that tonight. Let's just sit down and just have a conversation about what's happening at the local church down the street, down your street, if you will. And so tonight's topic specifically, as you have seen on the flyer, however you may be listening to us, if you're listening to us live or if you're listening to us by way of archive, our cover flyer for tonight, the two topics says this. It says emergency response beyond prayer. That's number one. We're going to talk about that. And I guess maybe someone would say emergency response beyond prayer. What is it that's beyond prayer? I thought prayer was the highest of, you know, as far as communication in our Christian, in our faith-based walk. But we're going to talk about emergency response beyond prayer. And, of course, with that play on words, if you will, I'm going to go into that as to why I took this stance, if you will, on the topic to actually come to the table with this topic. And then, secondly, we're going to talk about becoming people of action tonight. So, JR, if you want to kind of let's, it's up to you, however you want to, if you want to recap just a smidge, but a little bit from last week, we can do that. But again, I am Shelly Skeen, as he stated. No titles attached to this tonight. I'm coming as an HR professional. I am coming as a FEMA disaster relief inspector, and I am coming as a 15-year HR professional who has focused on faith-based churches, church plant, and also operations and administrative management in the church 15-plus years. I'm probably doing myself a disservice to say 15 years because I'm almost sure it was more than that. But that's who I am tonight. It's not minister. It's not prophetess. It's not a fivefold title on this tonight. These are professional, secular pieces of information, real-time, things you can Google and put your hands on. This is who I am, the subject matter expert who has gathered, right, who's gathered information that is not discussed and or talked about in the church until as of late. So, Dr. Dunlap, if you want to just touch 1, 2, 3 and tap dance around last week, and then when you pass it back, we're going to go on this week.
I sure will. So I'm going to be obedient to the professional and just talk about what we covered last week on last week's show. There was three particular areas that Shelly covered with us. And in dealing with this topic about us being prepared in our houses of worship, there was three things that she mentioned. The first thing was about having the right general resources. And she talked about signage. You know, do you have signs outside that says watch your step? As you're walking into the church, what does your parking lot look like? If you have steps on the outside of your church, are there rails on the steps? What about security? Do you even have security in your church? Things such as that. You know, what do you do with their special events? Do you have any type of protocols in place? And then that led us to hearing her talk about the second topic or subtopic, which was, who is the responsible team? Now, you know, Dr. Dunlap was saying, first and foremost, if you want to be in charge, Pastor, then you got to take that and say you are the number one person responsible. However, we can't do this thing by ourselves, so who else do you have to be able to help you with that? Leadership. It's leadership all day long. Leadership are the ones that are supposed to be making sure that things are together, that we are prepared, that we are putting things, the right resources in the right places. And then that led us to the third one, which I really, really liked, Shelly, which was asking the right questions. Are we asking the right questions? And I can tell you, if you are a member and you are hearing the different things as far as the resources and responsible persons, if you were hearing those things last week, we would caution you. It's a time and place for asking the questions. You know, you don't want to be up when you pass it up in a pulpit and it comes into your mind and you start yelling, Pastor, we ain't got no rails on this. You know, you don't want to do nothing like that. So we want everybody to be respectful, decent, in order. And you have to be there. You got to be present to be able to ask the right questions. You can't ask them from the sidelines. You got to be present what's going on. That is the 1, 2, 3. And I want to say this before I pass the mic back over to you. Some people may be listening tonight saying, okay, what does this have to do with PRF? It has everything to do with PRF. Everything that she brought us last week and everything that Shelly's going to be bringing to you this week is about stewardship. Point blank, bottom line, it's about stewardship. It's about stewardship over the house of worship that you have said that you've been called to lead or you've been called to be there as a member. And it's also about stewardship for the people that make up what our houses of worship are today. And so I want everybody to keep that in mind. This is a part of stewardship. And hopefully you saw that last week. And my God, you're going to see it again this week. So I'm going to pass it back over to you. Shelly, go ahead and take it. Run with it. You are the guest host, so you are in charge tonight. I'm just here in the background.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And you actually did a great segue because I was going to ask you again to define the stewardship for the PRF, for the listeners tonight, according to how PRF Table actually views stewardship. We view stewardship directly out of the Bible, but I am the one who likes to take I did it last week and I'm going to do it again. Possessions, resources, and finances. This may be your first night. Some of my friends or followers from my social media platforms may be listening for the first time, and you may not have necessarily gone over to the PRF website. Possessions, resources, and finances. We're sitting at the table talking about that. Here now for 5 years, Dr. Dunlap has brought that topic in many ways with many guests, but emergency response and taking the time to be responsible for and crafting plans of responsibility concerning safety and emergency response for your congregation has everything to do with possessions, resources, and the finances in your church, in your house of worship. And you will hear us use those two words interchangeably because, again, this is not just for the Christian house called the church. If it's a synagogue or we're not even trying to, you know, make any offending comments or references to such. Wherever, whatever you call your house of worship, that is, this conversation is for you. The possessions, I said last week, and I want to move into this now this week. I believe, and I want to be very clear, that when people walk on the grounds of your church, Pastor, when people walk on the grounds of your church leadership, we are all responsible for every part of their possessions, including them as people, as congregants, participating in the activity that we're hosting, because you have two things that happen. Number one, you have a liability there. You have a liability once they approach your ground. Somebody says, well, I don't know if that's necessarily true. They come to church at their own risk, don't they? We made a little joke. I didn't know it was a funny joke until we laughed about it, but do you have a sign outside of your parking lot that says enter at your own risk? Similar to that you see in the swimming pool over the summer or at any given time, that sign states dive at your own risk. If you do not, then I am here to say tonight that these persons that you see as congregants, any supporter of your ministry that sets foot on your property line are possessions, liability. We cover them with insurance. Well, that leads us to question. Do we have insurance? Do you know if your church has insurance? If you, as we talked about last week, if you stumble, trip, or fall in a hole, you, your grandmother, your baby carriage or stroller, or your child, if you slip and fall, I would dare say that as people, we become responsible for, as pastors, we become responsible for the safety of our people and their possessions. Little do we know or care to talk about it is that when we go to a job, and people would debate all day still today, that the church is not a business and we should not regard or see the church in any similar or comparative light. We're not here to debate that tonight, but I'm telling you right now, the IRS files, registers you, and has you labeled as such. Nonprofit, yes, but it is a nonprofit form of what? Operational business. And we should have a list of, and you can pull it up, a list of responsibilities that keep us accountable even as a nonprofit organization, similar to the company that you work for. Now, What do we do with the possessions? The possessions, not only are we responsible enough to protect them, steward over them, stewardship to protect and to care for, to govern ourselves accordingly, right, for the care of whatever, whatever that blank may be, and I want to say people. And doing this caring, in the midst of caring, the act of caring, says that I care enough about the safety of my people, and I also care enough about the possessions and the resources. Well, what resources? The pastor has a bookstore and agreed to put a bookstore on the property. We have musicians that have equipment that either they bring the equipment in or the church may have purchased that equipment. Anybody in the sound ministry, media, audio, music, anybody, you know this stuff costs. It takes one leak in the wrong place across the back end of the music pit, and you talk to me about that snare being damaged and those keyboards being wet and the microphones and the computers being wet, soaked, drenched, or flood from the floor. It doesn't have to come from the roof. Take your pick. Normally that is an elevated place. That's why I chose the roof. These resources that help us operate on a service-based time schedule, if these resources are damaged, what then do we find ourselves doing? Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you buy another one, and will you be available for Wednesday night service?
Mm-mm.
Is that where we leave that? The possessions and the resources, the people and the resources that are there under our house, right, under our care, we must create some sense and some plan of urgency now in saying and naming the procedure and the process, the ABCs and the 1-2-3s of how will we steward you, how will we care for you, how will we extend and express our love and appreciation for the fact that you have allowed us to utilize that which you have brought to make my house of worship better. So with that, we come into now a topic of discussion that says, okay, here's an insurance agent, and I should be beginning some conversations with this insurance agent. If you listened last week, if you did not, we encourage you to do so. The show is archived. Please go back and listen. There is a list of information there, and we will not belabor our time this week to review that any further. Please go back and think about the fact that, you know, I really need to call my insurance agent. These things now flow over into this week. What about the safety and the security of our children, whether you have your children in-house? There is the same one building, same, you know, 4, 6, 8 walls of a building, or you have a separate entity, a separate building that may be allotted for, right, set aside and set apart for children in the care of your youth ministry. Is this properly locked? Are there cameras? Is this properly handled by way of signing in and signing out, picking up and dropping off, in the same manner that you do when you go and take children to daycare during the week, Monday through Friday? Domestic violence is something we don't even have to talk about. It's very prevalent, and it has crossed the boundaries, the thresholds of the church ground, with no regard for respect or fear of the God that we serve. So have we stewarded, or are we now? Not only have you prefaced, some churches are under lock, key, keypad, camera. God bless you if you are. This conversation tonight is for the ones who are not. But we are saying that you have to pull in another team member or create some team members that can move in the way of action plans. After we've prayed, after we've asked, here we go, topic number one, emergency response beyond prayer. After we have prayed and asked the Lord to add to the church, now what? I shared this simple prayer, Dr. Dunlap and Mama, and as I prepared for this over the past several years, I've been sitting on this and watching the topics grow from child abduction to domestic violence to now gun safety, right, and active shooters on church grounds. As this need grows, even the more I wanted to share with the people tonight, Dr. Dunlap, this simple prayer that I say when I bring that play on words that says emergency response beyond prayer. I posted on Facebook after the shooting in Texas, and I said, we're praying, but who's hearing? We're praying, but who's hearing the strategies? And this prayer says, open my ears that I might hear, and open my eyes that I might see the strategy of heaven that you are revealing to me. And that prayer was shared with me some years ago at a former church that I was attending in Atlanta, and this was the pastor, you know, the preface to service, if you will, before he would preach, you know, the hold up your Bible and declare whatever, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what he would say.
Mm-hmm.
Open my ears that I might hear. What does that say to us? And it may sound simple. Open my eyes that I might see. And I added over time, as I begin to really let that marinate, the strategies of heaven that you are revealing to me. Simple but responsible prayer. If you're listening tonight, I want you to really think about this. Although I use that personally, I took this as a foundational prayer because for this topic in particular, like I said, we pray about, oh, I want a pastor. Oh, I want to be a leader in the church and thus and so department. But are we leading with responsibility? And now that the desire has manifested into a church with people, whether 220 or 200 or 2,000, we are yet praying, but are we listening for strategy? And if so, somebody say, well, of course I will. How dare you, you know, insult my intelligence. Of course we pray and listen for answer. Well, are we implementing now a strategy and a answer that will meet the needs of the volatile society that we are in, that responds to the fear that's gripping our people when they come to church? I like moments of silence, right? So people can think about we're saying. I could talk miles a minute, but this is going to be archived in history of the PRF table. Where's the answer now? And somebody would dare say, one pastor say, ain't no guns coming to my church. We hadn't even got on gun violence yet, right? I'm gonna try to touch it and not stay on it all night. Well, ain't no guns coming to my church. God is our protector, and I just refuse. Okay, pastor. I tell you what, if Deacon Buttermilk, if he keeps sleeping with Susie Q and Bishop Susie Q find out, let me tell you, it's going to meet you one day. If it's not in the church, it's going to meet you on the parking lot. Because he know everybody going to be at the church house sooner or later. That's what Texas was about.
That's what happened in Texas.
Was domestic violence. That man wasn't crazy. That was domestic violence is what that was. He was crazy, all right. That wasn't mental health. That wasn't terrorism. That was domestic violence. And here we are in a place in our churches. We're talking. But I'm telling you what, I do not see, I see very little action. And it does not have to be weapons. It does not have to be weapons. However, I would dare say to even blink about minimizing the fear factor, think about if someone's child was abducted, if someone's purse was just snatched and a flagrant just come through the parking lot and grabbed the purse from whomever and took off running. Who's chasing that person, or can our security just pull his or her weapon and shoot to subdue that person. This doesn't have to be fear of life, but what about just basic crime? What about the churches? Yes, sir, go ahead.
Here's a good question I think some people can ask of themselves, because as you were just mentioning, I just thought about there's a bunch of churches that have contingency plans in place. But I want you to think, meaning you, the listeners, to think about what that looks like in your church or in your community. Mm-hmm. Some of that contingency plan is an individual or two on the left or the right, not called ushers down in the south or ushers up in the north where I'm from, but security. And these are individuals to be there for the pastor. So if something was to go out of whack and get kind of crazy, then those individuals have a plan already in mind of how to get the pastor out. So I want you as people that are sitting there to think about, if something happens, who's going to get y'all out?
True.
Who's going to get
That's
y'all
very
out?
Very true.
Or do you have to fend for yourself? And so to me, I got to go here, that speaks to a matter of selfishness. I'm done. I can't do the awkward quietness. I'm done. I want y'all to think about
That's
that one. Go
right.
ahead, Shelly.
That's right. And so historically, our pastors have had 4D, two on both sides of the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
Historically. But as I stated, what about our children's division? What about our parking lot in and out, you know, when it comes to any type of violence? What just very simply, what about the fact that doors are open for our pastor in and out of his private door, back or side, and carrying of bags, but we can't get our elderly and our handicapped parking together, and when it's raining, we can't get a clear drop-off designated zone for our children to be, you know, for our parents to be pulled up without slip and fall possibilities in the parking lot, and they have to walk at some distance and get them to the door, and doors open and bags carried for them so that they can maneuver safely in and out of the rain. Mm. But the pastors, like I said, are 6 deep, 4 deep, 8 deep, right? And these,
right.
And these are things that ultimately, you know, were okay back then, but today it's not enough. It's not enough. And not only get the pastor out, Dr. Dunlap, but like you said, when something happened past tense at any of these churches, but what happens, especially when it's during the week, we want to take all the prejudice and all the bias out, and let's look at this. It can be 12 to 20 people on a Tuesday or Wednesday weekday, and something happened. And that happened in Atlanta. It's already been news, and it's old news, at Dr. Creflo Dollar's church, midday prayer.
That's right. I remember that.
He walked in,
that.
And the guy, you know, shot at the guy. Come on. So this doesn't even have to be Sunday service. We must stop standing in a posture. I don't even know if we're in any kind of posture. Are we even on post and paying attention? Are we on post and are we paying attention? But now we've given attention to the pastor when his offering and his honorarium goes out the back door. That's why they 6 deep in the first place, right? So, you know, come on. I give tithes and offering. I give documented with my name on an envelope, because I understand that I am a part of a church who is properly established as a 501c3, and I write things off on my taxes, and the IRS allows a tax benefit for me to include my donations to any nonprofit, and that nonprofit includes my church. Hence, when my information is inside of a computer, I need to know that no young kid is sitting in the seats hacking, and, oh, by the way, one day we pop up and we have a data breach and our information is gone. My information. You know, you guys don't have online giving everywhere yet, or text to give like we do at my past church in Atlanta. Y'all still do it the old regular way, books and scratching out names and amounts. Come on here. And want somebody typing all this stuff in on Excel. My information out there.
Mm-hmm. That's why
and
I just don't
not
even
protected?
Give.
Come on, you're not protecting my information. You don't even have data protection on the computer, let alone. Come on, and you're talking to an old information technology professional. And to this day, in the past 8 years, we started teaching hacking in college classrooms and called it hacking. We're not even covering up the title of the class. I can walk into church and pull up the server and look at every server. Every one of them, if it's a cell phone network ID attached to the Wi-Fi, I can pull it up in the church when I walk in there and show you everybody's phone. Sammy, Sue, John, Joe, that's the church office, that's Pastor in the back room, and I can show you that information. So here's data protection. Back to the F of PRF, right? Somebody said, well, surely finances, she just talking. No.
Mm-hmm.
You're not guarding my finances. But then if something happens on the church grounds at a special activity, we're not even talking about somebody dying and they're not covered in life insurance. What if the pastor died? Are we paying the pastor or not? Are we covering the pastor and his family in his emergency or are we not? Why we got to come out of our pocket every time something happens?
I ain't
the church not having an account, oh my gosh, we could go on. But let's sticking to the fact that they're right. Come on, Mama. You know, we fry fish for so much.
Yeah.
We sell brownies. We got to sell hot dogs. The children got to be out there running and hustling, you know, tater chips up and down, you know, the street inside of school. Car washing. Because financially we have not stewarded. And it takes one accident, Mama, come on here. Touch it just a little bit, Mama, because I need you to touch it. Because, you know, I told you I need you to drive this one home. It's serious.
Okay.
Tell the situation from church. Just what, very briefly, because you know we're on time and we've got a lot to cover. But tell it what happened and what's happening now and where they are, you know, to your knowledge as best you can. With that situation that happened on your church grounds, New Year's.
Oh, yeah. So New Year's Eve, we of course, you know, we have New Year's Eve service, like most churches, and the services were over, but the celebration was still going on. And so the pastor, the youth pastor, had some boys out there, and they were playing football. He fell, and he cracked his skull. And so, to make a long story short, he's still, and it's been 5 years that he is still recovering, and he can't do anything for himself. And so, I don't know anything about the insurance. I know that we did take up an offering. I do know that losing my train of thought. His wife, after 3 years, or the fourth year, she received a message from the nursing home saying that, you know, the insurance would not cover. So she just really didn't know what to do. So her husband did have a 401k plan. And so they do what they call a spend down. And in a spend down, they give you a list of how you to use this money. And so the home was in his name, so things had to be done in his name. So because the house was in his name, it could be spent on, like, she got a roof. And then they needed a better heating system. And then she got got his casket and burial place. And so that put her down to zero money, and she has two children.
And tell us now, just rough to your and this is not about putting anybody down in the church, but tell me to your knowledge, and you are a leader, right? You are a leader in that church. Tell me to your knowledge, what did the church do, and to what extent? We got to say it. You see what I'm saying?
I don't,
for the sake of this.
Okay, number one, I'm not a leader of the church, and I don't really know what they did.
Oh, this is not your old church. This is the new church.
This is where I am right now.
Your current church. Yes, ma'am. Okay,
my current church.
I stand corrected on that. Okay, yeah, you're not a leader in the current church. Right, right. Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
And so, you know, I know that offerings have taken, there are resources, like she likes to bring him in on the new year, and that's cost $5,000. To bring him to church is $5,000, but they do have an organization that does that, but he doesn't come, you know, to services. She'll bring him to, like, New Year's Eve, and he has a trachea, he can't speak. You know, the extensive damage to the brain, you know, he can't do anything for himself. And he has slight movement in his hands. And when he's in church, you know, when I was over there and the others, we prayed for him, you know, tears rolled down his cheek. And then I was observing, like when the word was coming forth, I could see him moving his hands. And that is the extent. And he's still in the nursing home. But this is what she had to do, you know. She had to give up the 401(k). I mean, the 401(k) plan.
Mhm. Mhm.
Yes.
So now let's look at that. All from a very happy occasion, New Year's football game. Let's go to the church and play. Boom! My life has been changed forever, and to the extent his entire life has been changed forever. The church is or is not, may or may not necessarily be in it for the long haul financially, because, of course, look at that affordability, right? Look at that impact. Look at that and what that costs. But let's just be real here. And the reason I did ask that is because I don't know as a pastor if I would dare be, even if that was me in that seat, right, in that posture of pastor. I just can't tell you how I would feel about not feeling so obligated to that family. Maybe that's me, and I know that might be a stretch for people, but I just don't know that my life would ever be the same because of the fact that I would want to say, you know what, the church is in a position where, to the least of things, we can provide a food train ongoing without ceasing, and then annually, let's just sit and say, okay, you know what, instead of building fund this year, nothing needs to be fixed around here, let's take some of the building fund, and if we raise approximately, let's say, $3,000 in building fund, you know, you got them three trays where everybody put a dollar in one of them to the left, building fund, and we never build anything. Yeah, that one. Let's take half of that and at least earmark that for this family until we say when. Now, if a door falling off in the kitchen, let's fix the door, building fund, right? But let's take at least half. I would be in such a state of mind that I would want to say that, you know what, we can do this, and we are going to do this, and this is the strategy. This is the strategy that we're going to use in order to help this family meet their needs. He was here. He was here on our ground. And so with that, thank you so much for sharing that. And so with that, here we are in dealing with the church and making sure, again, that we have the proper resources to cover our special activities, to say the least. And I shared last week also where that pastor friend of ours, she talked about the child dying on the property day of, in the bouncy house, big community event. This is not a small church, very large church, and people were out there, and that baby died in that bounce house, and how her life changed. And it's plenty, 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 plenty of stories on the internet about how property And I looked it up last week, Dr. Dunlap, how property disputes are now the leading cause of cases against churches, and not so much as sexual type misconduct cases where it used to be that in the past. Property disputes are the leading cause. I looked it up right at the end of the show last week, and I meant to mark that, but I'm away from the notes that I had last week. So here we are. Community festivities, bounce house, friendly game of football, friendly game of basketball, and the way our health care is going, sprain an ankle if you want to, right? We don't have to talk about debilitating injury, you know, as Mama shared. Sprain an ankle and go to the doctor. Do you have $145 to $200 to get a Band-Aid and some cream? You see? So where are we? So where are we? Let's take a breather here. Where are we as a house of worship? Your insurance agent must be directly involved. Call on them. Your financial team must be involved. Flood, wind, rain, you name it. Is the records of our people, you know, are the records of our people protected? Is the information guarded accordingly? Call on now the facilities team. Is the church in condition, in shape? Is it properly repaired for us to continue hosting this number of people? Cracks, breaks, holes, whatever, rails. Let's walk around the church. Let's make an intentional effort to lay our eyes on our house of worship. Call on now your child advocacy, social workers, anybody who may be a guardian ad litem for children. These people would be glad to help you. Identify the resources in your ministry. Let's call on them and say, how can we now, and your youth department, how can we better prepare our youth quarters wherever they reside? How can we better prepare, even if it's sheets of paper with proper signing and sign out and a computer there to actually record those sheets of paper, get those names off paper and put them on the computer, because sooner or later, it's not if but when, our records of who signed in and who signed Sammy in and who signed Sammy out may be called upon for evidence. Let's call the responsible team together and do what's right to steward this vision. Let's make sure that we have a voice at the table. Let's make sure that we're paying our tithes in order to have a voice at the table. As we said last week, if that is the culture of your ministry, let's not forget the important parts, right? Let's make sure we have a standing, what we call it, good standing. Let's make sure we are in good standing so that you can have a voice at the table at your ministry. I want to take a break here and a breather. Before we finish this back half, and let's wrap up this portion. JR, I'm sorry, you know I call you JR. I knew it was going to happen tonight.
That's fine.
If we have someone on the phone, listen, if you're there and you're listening, you want to press one, you want to comment, you want to say something, we're going to take a breather here before we hit this 9 o'clock hour, and let's give 10 to 15 minutes for comments. Press one. If you're listening by phone, press one. If you're listening by phone, press 1, and we will bring you in live to announce the last 4 digits of your number to recognize you and bring you on so that you can say something. JR, Dr. Dunlap, if you want to come in, please take it over. I want to breathe a minute before we go into the last part of the show.
I've been sitting here like it is when the girls on the block would be playing double dutch in the middle of the street. You know how it is when you're trying to get into the rope. I've been waiting. So I'm glad you're taking a breather. I have a couple questions that I want to pose, and we know we have people that are monitoring the Facebook page, PRF Institute on Facebook. So just put these out there for us. The first question is, and I don't know if you're going to touch on these, Shelly, but what's the financial implication for putting these type of proactive measures in place? I think that's an important question to ask. Why? Mm-hmm. Because some people like to, especially some leaders, like to say no to certain things. And I'm not just going to say the pastor, but, you know, you got deacons and trustees and whatever the titles are in different denominations. Well, how much is that going to cost? Well, let's look at it like this. If Dunlap walked in your church and he twists his ankle, that little $1.59 sign from such and such a mart that you could have went down and purchased and put up is going to cost you a whole lot more, because I promise you this, I am not going to hesitate. See, I can't hesitate when God has sent someone like Shelly to educate us, to speak from the heart through the Spirit of God, and some folk rather watch TV right now. You know I got to say it. Nothing wrong with TV, but there comes a time when you got to get yourself positioned. And when I heard that earlier, I thought about Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2. Some of y'all heard this. I was stand upon my watch and see, or set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what answer I shall give when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables so that they may run with it, that read it. So if you're not planning, listen, you can't prepare and do these plans inside of your head. So the financial implication may not be very difficult if somebody puts something down on paper or gets up and does something practical, like go to the store. You know, you go to the store and say, you know what, we need 5 signs here, we need 3 signs here. And you go to the store and you find out how much it is. And I said something last week and I'll say it today. If it is that much of a stretch and is going to really break y'all as a church, just contact us. Just contact PRF. So now we don't have no excuse, right? Amen.
No. Amen.
Another one was, and Shelly, she touched on this. Whose life or whose lives have or will be impacted by not taking heed to what's being said tonight and what was being said last night? That was Mama's story from her church. You've already heard it. God forbid that happens in your church where you attend. God forbid that happens in your church where you're a leader. I wish, Mama, they had the means to sit there.
Yeah.
I wish they had the means to bring him every Sunday.
Yes.
I wish the pastor had to look at him every Sunday. I really do. Every Sunday. And I don't know this to be true, but I wonder if he's going to visit him every week. See, it's easy not to deal with something when you don't see it. And I'm not going to put it all on the pastor. But what about before he was injured? Everybody loved
Come
him.
Come on. Come on.
Yes,
come on.
There was a rapper that had a song. His name was Mike Jones. Sometimes they loved him at one point in time. And I'm not saying this is the case in your church, Mama. So, you know, you don't have to get on the defense. What I'm saying
is
we know when situation when situations happen, the whole point is when situations happen, it's easier when people are out of sight. Because when they're out of sight, they're out of mind. And when they're out of mind, then they have no reason to deal with anything because it's not anything that is before them. So that's why I mentioned that. And then the third one is, how do we communicate and convince smaller churches that these matters are matters of life and death? That's the challenge, or a challenge. How do we convince them? Sometimes you have to let people see the ugly side of things, or the things that are not so pleasant to the eyes. And it takes somebody that has, as Brother Feaster would say, you have to have the courage enough to care. I mean, you think about this thing. There are certain things that are not in place in a lot of churches, and it's something that has not been addressed or even thought about over the years, because we'll take care of it. But this mentality of it's a family-run church, this mentality of we're going to handle our business, we're going to take care because we family, and y'all joke is lying, and the truth ain't in you, because y'all don't do that when folk die. Truth be told, that's why there's so many GoFundMe accounts. Because families don't and or can't come together. And then the secondary family doesn't do it either. Who was that passed away? I ain't know him. Joker, what? And? But before, that's my church family. I love everybody, man. We got to know that God cannot be pleased when we fail as a collective body of believers, wherever that applies, not to be good stewards over the possessions, resources, and finances that God has entrusted to us at whatever level or capacity. And I know y'all are thinking, this is really not what we expected for the PRF table, and I say thank the Lord that it wasn't what you expected, because there's a whole bunch in that book, in them 66 books, that was not what a lot of people have expected. Just wasn't. So, Shelly, we do have one of the brothers from the team. Brother Mark wants to say a few words. So, if you will, Shelly, we'll let Brother Mark come on right now. Brother Mark, good evening, sir.
Good evening to the table. How you guys doing tonight?
Good evening.
Oh, we're
just
good.
Just fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good. I actually just have one question that Shelly could possibly put out there. When you talk about these accidents that are that could possibly happen, do you have any idea, or could you let the listeners know, you know, how much would insurance would cost for something like that? Because even myself, you know, I own a home, and so you have insurance on your home, and if something happens and it covers bodily injuries and things of that nature. You know, is this built into the mortgage? Is it something that you have to buy separate? If it is, you know, how much would it be per month? Just a roundabout figure, because this doesn't cost that much. It's best to pay it up front and then wind up paying on the back end. And so I just want you to kind of shed some light on the process of getting covered in that area.
Okay. Thank you so much for asking that question. First and foremost, I think that's a great question. But I will say this right out of the gate. I am not an insurance agent, and people who are in the insurance industry will tell you that verbal discussions, how do they say, verbal conversation, any conversation does not indicate or dictate a binding agreement. So not being an insurance professional, I cannot even give a ballpark figure, because I am not representing or standing in the way of, which is why I said the insurance agent is your first part of that responsible team. But I will tell you what I know, and this is what I know for a fact. When you have an event, and you can Google event insurance, somebody says, well, church is not always an event.
But I will say this to give a ballpark figure. Let's say there is the event of the New Year's Eve service or the holiday service of sorts, whatever that may be, whether that's a festive fall festival or whatever. You can Google event insurance. When you Google event insurance, most sites, because I've done this before as an event planner helping people, most sites will say, okay, how do we calculate what your cost will be approximately? And if you know the number of, first of all, it asks you what type of event. The type of event could vary. Of course, they give you several drop downs that are already defined for you. And then it'll ask, where is the event, inside or outside, a theater, a school, and they give you several other drop downs for that. Each one of those areas really imply as to whether you're on flat ground, stairs, a stage. You see what I'm saying, right? They're immediately taking in that consideration. Is there, and right, these are drop down questions on the screen. Then the next one says, how many people approximately and how many times a day is this event and how long? So is it 50 to 75 people we're expecting twice a day? If you have an 8 o'clock, you know, event in the morning, let's say it's New Year's or Christmas sunrise morning, or whatever they call it, that morning, you know, Christmas service or Easter sunrise, and then we're going to have maybe a regular service later. So let's say twice a day, and then how many times do we do this? Let's just say we do it twice a week just to have mercy include weekday. Here you are once you do these click downs on the website on an insurance page that says event insurance. They will drop you down at that time a total. Again, of course, we know that's an estimate, and you can do that just by looking at, you know, again, a play at a church and go out there and play with that, and that will give you a number, a rough number. Of course, ultimately, even on these websites, it encourages you to call, and make sure that you talk to a person who is a real estate agent. Now, those factors, let's say if it's not a special event and it's a church and it's a building, what I understand is that church insurance on a building, commercial insurance and coverage and liability is not the same as what, and most times it's probably higher than what you're used to for your house. So that's actually almost probably non-comparative because you're not going to have 10, 20, or 30 of anything of the upwards number running in and out of your house. So commercial insurance is automatically higher than anything that smells like, right, a residential insurance coverage. So as a pastor, here we are again, as a pastor, if I was to come in, and when I come in historically on cases where people have called me to consult them, especially new churches and church plants, and we've even had a friend who launched his church and his ministry inside of the movie theater and utilized one of the movie studios that we go to, a regular AMC theater studio for church every Sunday. Okay? But wherever you are and wherever you're having church, that commercial building must be addressed by a commercial insurance agent and that coverage. And I'm sure there are aggregate levels, just like on your car, they will say, well, how much coverage do you want? I'm sure that conversation will begin. And so there is no true answer to that, simply because insurance is just what it is, amounts based on what the activity that happens around that location, whether it's commercial or residential. And, of course, if we're having church in our house, some people have church in their house, depending on the size of their house, upwards to as many as 30 people, right, in their garage or in a living room or in a spare room. So upwards to 30 people, you're also in a special situation if that is happening, if church is right there in your house. As a pastor, I think it is just a grave responsibility for us to make sure that we're having that conversation, and that's what we talked about last week, the team, the responsible team, and it does not just lie within your pastor and your leadership. It must include these local authorities, your insurance agent, your CPA, so forth and so on. So thank you for that question.
Thank you.
Can I add one more thing, Shelley?
Yes, go ahead.
Maybe not necessarily in response to what Mark said, but if this is something, and I say this, that this is what we're talking about tonight, what you're bringing to the table, but if this is not something, and my comment is to those of to these clerics, to my brothers and sisters who God called me to be a pastor, those folk, right? Those of y'all know who y'all are. If this is not something that you're willing to get in place before you open the doors, waiting would be a good thing of wisdom. And I'm not saying not to minister to God's people. However, what I am saying is you're not going to open up a church and not have no pews in there, not have no pulpit. You're not going to get a building and have no furniture up in there at all. Think about it, Shelley. When have you went to a brand new building that had no furniture in there at all? No pews, nowhere for nobody to sit. You don't have heat. You don't have water. You just got an empty storefront. Nobody does that, right? Because it's important to make sure that the people are comfortable. It's important to make sure that you're not sitting in there with, you know, like 15 different colored chairs because you got like three from one place, two from another. Most folks don't do that. So it says something. The stewardship piece comes when we prepare. So you can't really be a good steward if you haven't done any preparations. And this is just one act of preparing. I'm tired of folks just running out there all willy-nilly, starting church. Look, God, so you start church, fine. But when you start dealing with physical buildings and things like this, and not to have things in place, not to even address them, you know what it says to me? I think about who's leading you. Dunlap comes to Bishop Shelley and says, "Bishop, guys, lead me to leave Mama's church and start my own ministry." And all Bishop Shelley says, "Well, go and do what the Lord say." But Bishop Shelley don't say nothing about you're going to make sure you got insurance on that building, right? Don't just go out there and spend the money, put your deposit down. Make sure. That conversation is not coming out. Or if it's coming out, then people are deciding to follow their own way. And the danger is when you are a leader and you're following your own way, then you're leading people down that same path of destruction. So I say, y'all let me know where y'all at. That way I can come in there and I can twist my ankle and I can go ahead and start getting these cases lined up. Go ahead, Shelley. You don't want
Mama,
to listen, no
he ain't right, Mama. He ain't right.
I know.
He ain't right. But you know what, though? Now, hold on before I get started because we're into our 9 o'clock hour. Mama, did you have anything to say briefly as we move on?
Oh, I was just thinking about the last statement was made. You know, you have to... people that's their career, you know, getting car accidents, you know, getting paid. That's a career that some people have. So you don't know when that career person is going to walk into your church.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. And that's a sad but reality. It's a sad reality. But it definitely is something that is very true, and it's happening all over. Certainly. But you know what, Dunlap, let me say this. Where we are as a people, and I'm glad you said what you said because I actually wrote that down as a question for you, and I kind of skipped past it when I got into the strategic prayer of hearing and seeing and responding to the strategies of heaven in our prayer. You know, let's look at that. And I want to ask you, you've been through seminary. Talk to me. where are we in our seminary curriculum when it comes to teaching, or is it even available? Because I do not know. When do we get into the business of the church, meaning how do you deal with software security? How do you deal with choosing a building and the real estate, you know, ups and downs of choosing a building and a location? Is that taught in seminary?
Ooh, I can give you a short answer. But I got to give you the 30-second answer. Listen, in some denominations, this is what people need to know. There are some denominations that are called connectional churches. So a connectional church, for example, is like the Presbyterian Church, where, you know, everybody has a hierarchy. But the Presbyterian Church, they have rules and things that are in place that goes all the way down to what we would say the user level, down to the local church level. And there's assistance and things built in so that these churches are not out there flapping by the wind. Well, but then when you look at, say, the National Baptist Convention, the Black Baptist Church, right? You see they have a National Baptist Convention. You see they have a state level and then they have regional levels. But they're not providing resources to help the lower level church. So it has the appearance of being connectional, but it ain't connected to jack. So a lot of what's going on is it goes upward. So they're putting a lot of money going upward, where they could be using that money to help at a local level. Now, if you're attending certain seminaries that are related to connectional churches, it depends on the curriculum. So, for example, in the Presbyterian Church, you need to have an MDiv to be a Master of Divinity, to be a pastor. But that's not, finance administration is not part of the curriculum, because they focus on certain other areas, New Testament, Old Testament, Hebrew, Greek, pastoral care. But finance and administration is not a required course, and it surely is not in the Baptist church, at a Baptist seminary, trust me, because I looked at that before I went to a Presbyterian one, so I can give two good examples. So at the end of the day, they have some seminaries have courses in administration, church administration. But it's not required. And I don't even, and can I say this? I don't even have a problem with it not being required. You know why? Because that is something that people dealing in this area are people that should have the gift of administration. All pastors don't have the gift. Well, hardly no pastors have the gift of administration. Therefore,
that's what I was getting ready to say, but go ahead.
Yeah. Therefore, it's no question of why this is not being taught in seminaries, why it's not there in a lot of churches. Because you don't have the gift of administration, sis, bruh. So why are you trying? And they fooling in the area, already fooling in the financial area, so that's already why some stuff is messed up. So trying to talk about this right here, no. So I don't have a problem with it not being for that individual that's going for, that needs this as a qualification to be pastor. What I say is those who have the gift of administration are the ones that should be knowledgeable about this. And those are the ones that should be the ones that say, listen, this is my gift. This is what God called me to do, to help the church in this area, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, administration is a gift. I don't know why folks skip over it. Some folks think because they know how to add 1 and 1 + 2, they got a gift. No, you don't.
Right.
They just don't. So long way of, you know, that's the 40-year journey to, you know, the 11 days. It is not in a lot of seminaries. A lot of seminary curriculums do not have anything to do with finance. A lot of them have nothing about what we talk about at PRF on so many areas, about just basic stuff of helping the people. So the curriculum is the curriculum of once it comes up.
Wow.
That's the curriculum. Once it come up, where'd you learn how that? Once it came up, It's unfortunate, but it's true.
We said this last week, Dunlap. We said, and I was struggling with the term, but being proactive instead of reactive. We said this last week, and I want to encourage. Let me change the tone a minute. I want to encourage the pastors. I want to encourage the members that are listening. I want to encourage anyone who says, oh, my goodness, you know, I've been just so afraid or hesitant or just, you know, really taken aback by the things happening in society. I've been wondering if my pastor would. I've been concerned about whether they will or will not ever address, you know, emergencies in our church. Trust me, the people will be more than appreciative when you finally address emergency response. You're going to have some kickback, but I believe the majority, and I may be making a faith statement, but I just believe the majority of people will appreciate it more if it can at least be discussed. At least. At least. That we as a people, and as lackadaisical as we can be, have mercy about the things of the church. We just want to show up, get what we came for, and leave. But I'm telling you, I just believe that there would be an ease that will come upon the people if we would just start the dialogue. All the solutions cannot happen at one time because ultimately it will go beyond that $1.49 sign that says, please be careful on the stairs, please use caution, you know, when exiting, you know, or those five signs. You know, you can print those and laminate those even if you don't want to buy them, but ink and lamination still cost. Ultimately, your insurance agent will come for you, right? Because insurance agents are trained, as I am a disaster relief inspector, trained to see and find the fault. But trust me, there is a place of reassurance and confidence that the people will settle into. And I just stake my name on that, if you can at least start the dialogue. And another thing, too, as you mentioned, you said a connected, what did you call that, Dunlap? A connected
connectional church.
Connectional church. When I was doing the research on this here recently to revive this conversation and finally bring it to platform, it is so true. I found that the United Methodist Churches as a whole and as a body from the top down, they have issued a leadership emergency response planning booklet, that 26-page booklet. Again, we talked about it on last week, somewhat, you know, not in depth, but, you know, across some of the details. They have issued this 26-page manual in a PDF form that is out there for their entire church body. And it's something called UMCOR, United Methodist Church Operational Resource Group. You know, it's an internal group or division, a division now. And that resource for operations is there as a group. Like they started a, I think if I read it correctly, I think they actually established it as a nonprofit arm of information and educational awareness. And then they encourage, as you go through these 26 pages, they encourage you, Shelley, Dunlap, right, a mom, a Mike, to go in and say, use this for your church and let it shape your church. They are talking about anything that they found, any resources that they've gathered. Create this for your church. So I encourage you to take the steps necessary. This is not new information. We talked about the list of resources last week. And as we close this conversation, again, I did not want to, and I told Dunlap this before we started, I didn't want to badger the active shooter on campus conversation, because it is beyond an active shooter on campus. If my child gets abducted by my ex-husband, I'm being hypothetical, right? I don't have baby. Oh, yes, I do. I have a grandbaby. It, you know, mm-hmm. Whatever. if it was my child or somebody else's child, I would be just as upset. And I would expect just as much precaution to have been taken and security response to be in place or have taken place to say we tried. We shot at him, but we missed him. Because Sammy got tired trying to chase him across the parking lot, and he got away in the car, and Sammy was on foot. Deacon Sammy was on foot. Come on here. I am just as upset and frustrated when I see sexual misconduct and different allegations come across the internet, you know, and get exposed inside of a classroom that was not locked. Your liability, Pastor, hello. You don't even have a door locking system or process. And people are sliding our girls and our boys in and out of these empty classrooms that are unlocked. It is just as frustrating to me as hearing about a shooter on the campus of a church. Trust me, there is ease that will come. Don't take this for granted. We must move in a posture of proactive readiness. FEMA, Red Cross, the Salvation Army, ready.gov. I don't think I shared that last week. Ready.gov. There are so many situations, flood, storm, fire, have mercy in California. Can you imagine? You know, we must be ready. I keep saying it. I just came back home to North Carolina in 3-4 years now. I need to go ahead and do what I need to do for the state of North Carolina to carry legally in North Carolina. Veteran or not, I was carrying it anyway, right? But when I am on the grounds of a church, how many people know that I am not only on security as a female because I carry, I'm on the security team at a church because I understand the ramifications of what can and will happen, and sometimes you need a female in place when you're dealing with a female. A man is immediately in a posture of liability with the law if he throws down to subdue a female. So you cannot have a male on a female. You have to have a female on a female in any instance. And she comes in and she's busting windows, cutting tires, and keying up the car, you know, because like I said, didn't we say Deacon Buttermilk was sleeping with such and such earlier? So let's move into a state of proactive readiness. I want to encourage you that, again, this is not new information that I thought up. I am sitting on and still not really sure how I could bring together. For me, I thought it was a book, but initially, you know, what I continue to believe was a book, Dr. Dunlap, I'm actually coming away from it and seeing that it's more of a consulting role to say, I'm here to help take the stress off. I will come into your facility and train the trainers. I will train the leaders. I will leave with you the information, review it, walk through it with you, and I will also meet with your insurance agents, your CPAs, your facility staff, help you identify those people if you don't already have them identified. Consulting fees will apply. Why? Because, again, these are things that take time. It is not a one-day, two-day, three-day fix. This is an ongoing consultation of time. In order just to give you the information in full and get you in a position where you can take off and run and follow through in order to get your own manual as the United Methodist Church. And we can utilize that resource alone in addition to the other resources, but I've gathered it for you, so let's do the work. If you cannot listen to these two shows in archive, if you cannot take these two shows and grab the attention of a leader, listen to these two shows. Inbox the PRF table at the PRF Institute on Facebook or reach me, Shelly Skeen. I'm Shelly K. Skeen on Facebook. and anywhere else you see me, we are here for you. We're here for you. We are here for you. But we must move beyond prayer and now move into a state of readiness and be very aware of the things that now are before us as a society, because I'm sorry, it's where we are today, and we must not fall back on our laurels, I don't think, any more than we already have. Without caring for and properly stewarding, as we began this show, we must, and Mama will agree, firsthand have seen it, we must care for and attend to the possessions, the resources, and the finances that come to our property, frequent our services. We call them congregants, but hear me, they are more than a tithe and an offering. They are more than a dime and a dollar. We must properly steward the people of God and move in the kingdom with some sense of application so that we can now do our part as leaders and pastors to what stand on our watch, as Dr. Dunlap shared in Hezekiah, which is my favorite portion of that scripture. We burn up that write the vision and make it plain, but it says and it implies that he sat and he waited with what he had submitted to say, now how will you answer me with this here vision here? Right? Come on with my improper reference.
Come on.
What you got to say about this vision that you want me to write, and when you answer me, I'll write it so plainly, then they can run. Let's be on our watch, people of God. Let's be on our watch. Let's be on our watch. Let's be on the watch. And I'm done there. We could go on. There's so many points I'm looking at that I have not covered that are literal points. Please share this broadcast. And know that we're here for you. Thanks again, Dr. Dunlap. It's been an awesome time. I appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we thank you, Shelley. We truly thankful that you have taken a seat at the table. And we hope and pray that you will come back in 2018 and share more with us. Us as people who are hosting the show that are connected to churches, but also those of us who are hosting and part of the PRF family that are in leadership positions, such as myself, and that we have the courage to take a lot of the things that have been said and bring those before the other leaders and the other leadership that we are serving with so that they can understand how truly important this is. I want to just end on this, as I said, at the top of the hour, some people may have wondered, you know, when they saw the title on Facebook or on the website, you know, doesn't sound like a, you know, something that's dealing with money. Again, there are some financial implications to all of this. It really is. And in the stewardship piece, here's where I would leave everybody with this. When you think about all these different situations, you thought about some of the things that I said in jest, the question that Mark posed and all that you brought with us. In Matthew 25, there's a parable that Jesus gives about three servants and some talents. And one of the things that he said in Matthew 25 was he gave a response. He gave a reply. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many. And the last part of that is come and share your master's happiness. Well, we are created to give pleasure and profit to God for the things that we're doing by giving honor to him and how we treat our servant fellow men and women. And so if we're not doing things like this, then that means there's some room for improvement. So I won't badger anybody, especially at the end. I'm not going to badger anybody. But Shelley, there's some room for improvement because he said, well done, a good and faithful servant, to the one who had five talents. He said it to the second who had two, but he had a different response for the one, Shelley, who had one talent, who didn't do what we will believe or say was not the right thing with the one that he was given. And so you have to take that in consideration and say, how am I being a good steward over the possession, resource, and finances of the church, of the church's resources, of the people in the church, over the visitors? And if you know that you're not doing some stuff up to par, just ask God to give you some help, give you some wisdom. But how about this, Shelly? I got a better one for them. How about they just reach out to you?
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? How about you reach out to Shelly? See, and I want us to think about this. God is not giving every gift that is out there to you, my brother or my sister, because of your title. So it doesn't matter that you're an apostle. It doesn't matter that you're a pastor. You don't have all the gifts. And so the book of Ephesians says real clearly, these are the gifts that God gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? A lot of people know that as a fivefold ministry. So how about we operate in the fivefold ministry? Because what you're doing, Shelly, is teaching. All of those five that I just mentioned are ministering to people, but it's a difference when you're teaching. And so the pastor can't teach. Teacher teaches. So some folk need to understand, stay out of everybody's, you know, each other's lane, and let the teacher teach and you pastor. And part of the pastoring is bringing in teachers. Because the 12th verse says, the responsibility, it says their responsibility. That means the collective responsibility that we all have is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. This continues until we all come into such unity in our faith, unity in the knowledge of God's Son, that we'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So until we get to that point, Shelly, where we realize collectively that we all have a responsibility to collectively equip God's people, and it's not on one person or the other, the people are the ones that are suffering. And personally, I don't want that on my I got enough to deal with. That's not one that I want to add to my list of faults, if you will. So I'm thankful, Shelly, that you were with us, and we're just going to see what God says about how often you'll come back to the table and be a part of this stewardship conversation in 2018. Don't y'all want to see Shelly come back in 2018? Yay! Everybody want to see Shelly come back in 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. We'll see about it.
Yeah. See, Mark said, oh, yeah, Mama's in the background. She's putting up her hands like, yeah, let's go. We got to do this. We are at such a crucial time in our country right now, in some of our states, in a lot of communities, and definitely in a lot of churches, where we must come together and be about God's business. And this is God's business. That's the bottom line to it. So this is going to be our final show, y'all, for the year. We will be back with you. The PRF table will be back with you next year, 2018, because as you know or may not know, we shut down after the second show of the month every December. So there will be no show on the 21st or the 28th, and we will be back with you on the 4th of January. Let me also just let you know that tomorrow, Kimberly Silas, she will have her final show of the year. Kimberly's show is called Your Health is Your Wealth, and there will be no show on the 22nd or the 29th of December, but she will join us back on January the 5th. And everybody knows who's been with us over these last 5 years that every January we do our series is focused on health. I just found it to be proper since we have Kimberly Silas that has her show on the first and third Friday at 2 p.m., that there was no need for us to have this monthly series in January because we already have another show. So if all goes well, which I'm going to believe that it is, everything is on track, one of the members of our team, Laura Bondurant, she will be on with us in January, and we won't have, the health series, but we'll focus in on something different this January. We'll be focusing on economics and race, Shelley. economics, and race. That's what we'll be talking about coming into the new year. It's going to be powerful because what Laura has inside of her, this is her time to start releasing this to the people. And we know just from certain things going on in our federal government that it is absolutely necessary to understand what God has to say about a lot of these matters that we're dealing with and how race plays into the economic landscape inside and also outside of the church. And so we look forward to that. We've got a lot going on within the PRF. Let me just make one correction in case you heard it. When Shelley mentioned Hezekiah, we were talking about the book of Habakkuk. So y'all know how it is, or some of y'all don't, but when you just flowing, sometimes we say, we know what we're trying to say, Mark, and sometimes something else will come out. So I just wanted to make that correction. And it's all love. Nobody's mad but the devil. So, again, thank y'all so much. We wish everybody a Merry Christmas and also a Happy Holidays. But Merry Christmas, first and foremost. December 25th is another important day, not just because it's Christmas, but for the last couple of years, one of our partners, which is His Gathering House, located in Phoenix City, Alabama, Pastor Bill Holmes is the pastor. And we've been having a Christmas service, Christmas Day service. We've just felt that it was just necessary, if you will, to honor the birth of our Savior on that day. And last year we did not have a Christmas Day service because Christmas fell on Sunday, so you know everybody's going to be in church on that day. But now we're back on Christmas not being on a Sunday, so guess what we'll be doing? We'll be having a Christmas service. It will be at His Gathering House. It will be at the new location. Just go to our website, prfministry.org. Go to the calendar, and you'll be able to see and get the address. But we want you to be there if you're anywhere in the Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning, Phoenix City area. We just look forward to you just being with us. It'll be about an hour-long service, but, again, we just believe that it's just important on that day that we just set aside some time for the birth of our Savior. It just seems kind of crazy when Mark, and you know this firsthand, when we want people to celebrate our birthday and we don't want people to celebrate our birthday like 3 days after or when it's convenient for them. We want people to celebrate our birthday on the day that we were born. And so Christmas has become this my soapbox now. So, you know, but Christmas has become so commercialized that it's not about celebrating the birth of Jesus, even though that's what people are saying out of their mouths. So we're just putting some actions behind what we say we believe in, and we don't find it robbery to get up early in the morning on Christmas morning, go to the house of God, worship with our brothers and sisters of all races and denominations, and then go back and be with our families. What we see that as is putting Christ first. And so that's what we're going to do. So just keep up with us. Look on Facebook and look on our website, and you'll be able to see that information. And again, God bless y'all. We love you. We're thankful very much for all that has gone on, particularly in this year, just completing 5 years. And now we just look forward to what God has for us, as well as you, those who are listening here on the PRF table. So with that, God bless y'all. Mama, thank you so much for being with us and always just being there pretty much on every show, regardless of whose show it is. That's truly important. So, Mama, do you have any last words you'd like to say before we shut down? I definitely can't leave without letting you have a final word as well.
Okay, yes. I would like to ask you, Shelley, is it important to have those fire extinguishers in the sanctuary?
Actually, they should have an extinguisher at every exit, at least visible.
Okay.
At every exit, visible. Near every exit and visible. Yes. So if it's inside or outside the door, you should have one somewhere in the multiple entrances visible, somewhere.
Okay.
But generally, they say every exit.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else that you would like to say to the people, Mama, since this is going to be our last show until we come back next year?
Yeah, so just like for everyone to enjoy your families and be safe and be alert on it when you go out. Just be aware of your surroundings, you know. If you don't have to go out at night and do shopping, my suggestion that you don't. I come from Philadelphia, so.
I got you. I trust me, I know as well, too. So, Brother Mark, Mark serves with us as well. Is there anything you would like to just give to the people before, since they won't hear your voice and your comments again until next year?
The only thing I want to extend is Christ to them. You know, I know that was something that the Lord put on your heart to do before we close. And we're extending that offer now for salvation. After all, what we do, it's all about Christ. And so, as I said the last time, it's a confession of the mouth and belief in your heart that Christ was born, he died, and he rose again. And Father, and so we extend that offer of salvation to you, and we pray that if you have not rendered your life to him, that you will. We can't say that God is in control of our life and we haven't given him our life. That's it.
Amen. God bless y'all. We love you. We'll see you in 2018. Peace.